That's how I feel here at Vestavia. It's a great blessing to be here with you. And again, I appreciate your prayers. Again, the Lord blessed the surgeon and the surgery and the recovery and the therapy. And Lord just in a mighty way took care of all that. I want to brag on him. Very thankful for that. And I thank you for your prayers, your sweet pastor checking on me, and Brother Josh checking on me, and Brother Ken. I appreciate all of you very, very, very much. Great blessing to be here with you. Let's get to work. I understand in your afternoon services, you only go about 2 hours with the preaching, so we need to go ahead and get busy. Those that are visiting, I'm joking. Turn with us to John chapter 14. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows that the disciples, he knows all about them and that their hearts are troubled. And he's going to give them a lesson, as well as us, a lesson that when our hearts are troubled. I don't know, maybe you have never experienced in life a troubled heart. If you have never had any kind of troubled heart before in your life, I want to go home with you and spend some time with you a little bit. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he makes his final sermon to his disciples, specifically it's to his disciples, it's not to the multitudes. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ to believers through the agency of the Holy Spirit, he's going to teach them in this final sermon, and he's going to give them words of comfort in the shadow of the cross. I want you to think about that. In the shadow of the cross, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as they leave the upper room, he's preaching and teaching to them. And he's more concerned about his disciples than himself. And he speaks a word in season to the weary, because they are weary and they need tender words. He says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He did not say to them, "Let not your life be troubled." He didn't say that to them. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." You see, they could not have obeyed that. "Let not your heart, let not your life be troubled," rather. Because he tells his disciples that we're going to have persecutions. We're going to have tribulations in this life. What he says is, "Let not your heart," to his disciples, "be troubled." How in the world do we do that? Well, he's got a lesson for them here. He says to them that, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You see, as Job writes about sparks going up to the sky, that's the same way that it is with troubles with man. "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward," it says in Job 5 and 7. The same way, if you've ever played in a fire and you make the sparks go up in the sky, that's how man is born unto trouble. It's any kind of a grievance of our mind that we have, anything that is causing disturbance or distress to us. Sometimes it's families that they're dealing with the sting of death. They've lost a loved one. Sometimes it's someone that's finding out about maybe a physical, something from the doctor that they found out that's troubled them. Maybe it's a parent that's dealing with a child. Maybe it's a child that's dealing with youth and growing up and the peer pressures and the things that are around them. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tells them, keep trouble away from your heart. You're going to have trouble in your life, but here's the key, he says to his disciples, keep it away from your heart. Amen. Well, what do we put as the sentinel? What do we put as the guard of the door? You know, in a castle, in a kingdom, there was a guardianship that was there outside the door. And not just anybody walked in. If you go to see the President of the United States, I promise you, there's going to be guards at the gates and at the door. You're not going to walk right in. Those guards serve a purpose there. Obviously, to secure those doors. What has God given us to secure our heart door when trouble's coming? When trouble is evading our hearts, let us do like the wise old preacher said, old Solomon said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let us keep it. Let's set a guard at the door. That guard at the door is our faith, which is the gift of God, which you have as a born-again child of God. Faith stands at the guardianship of your heart's door. Where did that faith come from? We're told to exercise our faith. We're taught by God that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We know that that's a fruit of the Spirit, don't we? The Apostle Paul told the Galatian brethren there, as he lists out those things of the old fleshly nature that we may have dealt with in our past, he says, but these are the fruit of the Spirit. And he talks about love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm going to keep preaching. You go, Brother Hugh, I hear you say that all the time. Well, as long as I got a breath in me, I'm going to keep on saying it because it's the truth. You cannot produce fruit of the Spirit unless you're in possession of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And so God Almighty, when you're born again, you are blessed with the measure of faith. Now, we're to exercise that. My son, Brother Wesley, you know, he's my son-in-law, but he's my son. Sorry, Brother Wesley. Sometimes in the family, now you get used as an example in the sermon. It's tough, but you bought your ticket. All right. As a football player, and as he does now, he works out to exercise his muscles. He is a very strong young man. Physically, I believe spiritually also that he is, but he's a very strong young man. And he realizes that as long as you work out, as you continue to work out, you maintain that and you get stronger of those muscles working out. Let me tell you, when you stop and you're not able to, they start going south. I look at Brother Wesley now when he helps me on the farm and I go, I used to could do that. I can't do that anymore. And I'm not going to try to do that anymore. I've done all my time, I hope, in the surgery center. I don't want to do that anymore. But you see, he exercises still, and while you exercise your faith, how do you go about doing that? Can Brother Sam and Brother Josh and Brother Derek and these other brethren that serve you, are they able, do they have dominion over your faith? Are they able to give you some extra measures of faith? No. But let me tell you what they are. They're helpers of your joy. The Apostle Paul says that. But let's stay with this lesson. We're going to get to that. We only have an hour and 55 more minutes to go. So, how does a follower of Jesus Christ, what is the prescription for a calmed and a quiet heart in the midst of the storms of this life? You believe also in God, he says. You believe in God, believe also in me. Faith, that gift that God has given you by the Holy Spirit of God, in God and his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is a recipe for a calm and a protected heart in the midst of the storm. Isaiah, it says in the 26th chapter, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, it says, whose mind is stayed on me. We got to have control of our minds. We got to be careful what we allow through these eye gates. Amen. What comes through our ears, what we look at, what we listen to, because I want to tell you, what gets control of your mind can be dangerous. We need to have this in our eye gates. We need to have God's word. We need to be praying. We need to be meditating in fellowship with our Lord, submitting ourselves to God, drawing nigh to Him. The disciples were in danger of losing their peace, and their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, sees that. He knows what is about to happen. He knows what He faces. And in the shadow of the cross, He sees His disciples losing their peace, and they must turn their eyes away from themselves and away from the circumstances at hand, and they must get their eyes firmly fixed on something. And their eyes must firmly be fixed as it is today on the captain of their salvation. That is how you start going through the storm. That is what the disciples, when they were literally going through a storm, when they saw the Prince of Peace out upon the water that said, "Peace, be still." That is what their eyes beheld. That's what they gazed upon. You got to find an inward peace and assurance to take the next step and the next breath. And God Almighty will give you sometimes. As I've sat with people and I've told them, God just gave you 1 minute grace. You just made it another minute. God just gave you half a day grace. You didn't think this morning when you got up that you could survive, but look at us. We're at noontime today. God's going to give you grace at 3 o'clock and at the end of the day. He'll give you that peace going into the night. These things that can trouble us, that can overcome us like a sudden thunderstorm that can come up. Jesus Christ says, here are 5 truths for you that's going to sustain your faith. He says, Father, my Father's house is heaven. He goes, in my Father's house are many mansions. Heaven is home, and we need to live in anticipation of that if you believe that heaven is your home. Do you live in anticipation for heaven? Do you think about it? Do you read about it when you're troubled? Do you know what it says about heaven? It tells us about heaven that there's no weeping. It tells us about the sorrow is not there. It tells us that the former things have passed away. It's a good thing to think about, not only at the funeral home and at the graveside, but to think about while you're alive. Amen. And living in anticipation of that. Jesus tells His disciples, He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And He tells him prior to that, He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, my word is true and complete. I've told you everything you need to know. Do you know that you've been given everything that you need to know in the right here and right now? I have people that ask me questions. Do you think we're going to know about that more and more about that in heaven? Maybe so. I know that we've been given everything we need to know about right now. And I said, I want to tell you, you may be thinking about a bunch of questions when you get to heaven to hit the Lord with. I just want to get to His feet. I just want to get to His feet and hang on to Him. I want to embrace Him, not at the crown He giveth, but on the nail-pierced hands. I want to fall at His feet and say, thank you for saving me from my sins. Amen. I'm not worried about a bunch of questions. I just want to get to Him. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says that salvation is by sovereign grace. He says that we will follow Him home because Christ went to the cross and He prepared a place for us. The gift of sovereign grace. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. The preacher didn't do it. You didn't do it. The gospel didn't do it. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is who did it. He did the work. Jesus says, I'm coming again. He's not sending Gabriel to come get what He paid for. He's not sending angels. He's coming Himself to get what He paid for. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. Amen. That should make your heart feel better when trouble's all about you. And the joy of heaven is a place of uninterrupted fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is a real place. It's not a figment of your imagination. And let me help you out. Hell's a real place too, and that's what you've been saved from. I love that. He saved us from our sins. Yes, but let's also, he saved us from hell that we deserve. He's our Christ. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. The disciples now have something that they can draw strength from, these things, these truths that the Savior has said to them. But now, as Brother Sam serves you and Brother Josh, Brother Derek, as other ministers serve you, they cannot provide you with this extra measures and strengthen your faith. But what they do is when they come and visit you, and when they stand up to preach the gospel, they're helpers of your joy. Now, a helper, let's look and see what that is. And I'm going to tell you, if I die before I get it out of my mouth, I want you to miss this. Help them help you. If you miss everything else, help them help you. You know what you're doing by being here this afternoon? You're helping them helping you, because you're where you're supposed to be. You're where you're supposed to be. And so you come here on Sunday morning, you're where you're supposed to be. See, God didn't call them to be private eyes to get drones out to try to locate church members. You came and said, I want a home here. God, I'm talking to you. I'm making a vow to you. I'm talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'm making a vow that this is where I want to be every Sunday. I want to be identified with this particular people if they'll have me. Amen. And God, I say to you that I'm going to be faithful, that I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be. See, I took vows with Sister Becky. She counts on me being home. If I'm not home by a couple of hours, she's looking for me. I need to tell her where I'm at. If I'm missing for 6 months and she don't ask about me, you need to come home. Every Sunday you need to come home. This is where you need to be. Being faithful and the sacrifice, whatever that sacrifice, you live in sacrifice, your bodies given to the church, tending to it, doing what you need. You know, membership has its privileges, but it also has its obligations, and they need to be taught. And I know that you get that teaching, but let's go here to what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians at the end of that chapter about being helpers of your joy. The Apostle Paul says in the second epistle to the Corinthian church, chapter 1, verse 20, if you have your King James translation, for all promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, and to the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. The Apostle Paul lays no claim to the power and the authority over their faith. Any man that stands up and lays claim over your faith has no authority. He's not God. Amen. He is not God. The Apostle Paul clearly, in the Hebrew letter, he talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in Hebrews chapter 12. That's the originator and the perfecter of our faith right there, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He exclaims that. Neither the Apostle Paul nor any man can give or turn on, actuate, whatever, your faith or the faith in another person. The Lord reserves such dominion. That's what the Apostle Paul says. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. That exclusively belongs to God. And as we said, that is one of the fruit of the Spirit. But the Apostle Paul did understand that he had a duty, and his duty was to be a helper. Brother Sam understands that. He's taught other ministers like myself, Brother Josh, Brother Derek, other ministers, that we are helpers of your joy. That helpers of your joy happens in the pulpit. It happens with fellowship in the kitchen. It happens when you have fellowship and you go to a hockey game. It happens when you have fellowship, when you go visit someone in the hospital, being helpers of their joy. Listen to what the Apostle Paul, a helper, you know, is one that's going to aid you or that is going to assist you, that is going to try to supply everything that they possibly can to help you out. But do you know that sometimes you got to help your helper? That's what I was saying. How in the world, if we've got to put a search party out to find you to help you? That makes people nervous when you talk about it at my home church, but I love you, and I want people to come back and be in the house of the Lord. Amen. On Sunday morning, I'm tending to the ones that are there, and in the week, I'm trying to reach out to different ones, trying to get them to come back to church that hadn't been, because they're forsaking the assembling of themselves together. They're not keeping their vow to God. You know, if a man hadn't kept his vow to the church and shown what kind of member of the church he is, when you do marriage counseling with him, is he going to take that vow serious? If he didn't take a vow to God about his church serious, is he going to take vows to a wife? She needs to think about that in him too. Amen. How is he a helper? He's a helper by preaching, by teaching. The Apostle Paul is writing epistles by the inspiration of God. He's trying to instruct. He's trying to guide. He's trying to comfort folks. He's trying to get folks to exercise their God-given faith by encouraging them to step up and live for Jesus Christ every day. You see, there is an inherent and a magnificent joy that we can experience with our God-given faith. But you know when this joy is going to increase? And I'm talking about the joy, not the fleeting joy of this world. People get confused. I'm thankful that you don't get confused with that. There's people that are looking for joy out in this world, and you're not going to find it. Joy, as an acronym is, number one, Jesus. Number two, serving others. And you come last. Well, the world goes, hang on a second. I don't like that. You deserve a break today. You should come first. Well, yeah, this is going to throw the world on its ear, this message did, because it's about Jesus Christ first, about serving others, and then serving whatever's left is about you. But I promise you, if you get it in that order, you're going to really enjoy joy that is a fruit of the Spirit of Almighty God. The Apostle Paul couldn't give them faith, but he could help them to the exercise of it, and that's what preachers are doing today, teaching obedient submission to the Lord and His holy word. It's the same that as preachers are teaching the things that are of necessity, the teaching of integrity and morality that's gone out the window in some places. It's taught here. It needs to be taught in your home. It needs to be taught by grandparents. It needs to be taught by parents. Folks are trying to figure out how to fix our youth today. It starts at the house. It starts at home. That's where it starts at. It starts by dads, by fathers, being a father, being a dad, and stepping up. You're the spiritual leader of the home. Jesus Christ is the head of the home, and now you're the spiritual leader. And your family's going to follow your leadership. And if your leadership is rolling over on Sunday morning and drooling on the other side of the pillow, well, that's what they're going to do. Don't be surprised when you decide to come back to church that your teenagers and 20-year-old and 30-year-olds don't, because they learned from you. Ouch, preacher. Well, it's the truth. I tell you, I thought my daddy was hard one time when he heard me sigh on the other side of the house. Them three-day meetings, man. It was fun getting ready for them, but about Saturday afternoon, I needed a break. My family said, how many sermons can we hear from Dad in one weekend? We're on our way to Vestavia. Sister Becky, I got two more for you on the way home. She may leave me. But yeah, you know, 3-day meeting, preacher's preaching long, I'm tired. And my mom says, Hugh, go ahead, we got to get ready for church. I sighed, Brother Sam. That's all I did was sigh. My daddy heard it on the other side of the house and came and corrected me. I needed to be corrected. How dare I sigh as a child? My answer is yes, sir, and no, sir. Very simple. I live in their home. They're trying their best to raise me up in the nurture and admonition alone. I sighed, and my dad let me know how disappointed. I'd rather have gotten a whipping. But he let me know how disappointed he was. He said, son, we're going to God's house. And he goes to worship God. He's mighty good to us. He goes, you don't need to be sighing about going to God's house. He goes, you get in there and you get your clothes on. And I'll tell you, I got ready quick. I believe I was the first one to the car. Let me tell you, it's important, these things that are taught at the house. The Apostle Paul is doing his part, and he's teaching the church at Corinth. He teaches other ministers that their joy can become greater and greater if they attend the Lord's church, if they obey the gospel message, the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the only way that we're able to stand in this life, to face the day, to face the trials, to face the tribulations, to face the things that are coming tomorrow that we know not about. We don't know what tomorrow lays in store for us, but I do know this, that God's in heaven, and on his right hand is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He loves us. Dearly he loves us. And he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we trust in him. We trust in our divine helper. The Apostle Paul, these other ministers today, they are men, sinful men. But they're called with a high calling to serve by God. And they are to be helpers of our joy. They're to guide us. They're to strengthen us. You need to thank God, and I know that you do, for your sound pastor that loves you and your ministers that you have here at Vestavia Primitive Baptist Church. Help them help you. And how you help them help you is you start getting ready for next Sunday's church now. We're fixing to say amen in a few minutes and leave. Start getting ready for next Sunday. Amen. You pray for your pastor. You pray for the ministers. They need your prayers for during the week while they're studying. They're trying to deal with other responsibilities and things in life, but this is the most important thing. They have families too, but this is the gift that they've been given, and they don't want to neglect that gift. And you pray for them that in their time that they have the study, that the Lord bless them. It may be studies that's personal for them. It may be studies for somebody they're going to counsel with during the week. It may be their studies for Sunday morning. You just be praying for them. And you read God's word so that when they tell you to turn to Genesis, you know where it is. That you're studying and you're reading along with them. That you study God's word. You take some notes down. If you can take them mentally, God bless you that you can do that. Take the lesson. Don't be, man, I won't tell you what, that Brother Josh, he preached Sunday, boy, he preached. What did he preach on? I don't know, but it was good. I enjoyed it while I was there. Take you some notes down. Make some notes and refer back to it during the week. Start off with it during the week and then continue on with your own studies. It starts on your knees. Help the helpers of your joy. And be ready to help somebody that needs a little pepping up. I was missing in action from work for 2 weeks. I was very thankful that in 2 weeks I was able to hobble back into work at my desk. I didn't go out on any job sites. But there's a plant in that office that I have nothing to do with except I water it. I'm the only one that waters it. Everybody else walks by it more than I do every day. But the plant hadn't been watered in 2 weeks. So I got a cup of water and I gave it to the plant. It was pretty withered. But I gave it some water, and all of a sudden, by the end of the day, the thing started perking up. I had to break a couple of yellow leaves off of the thing. I went, y'all couldn't even water the plant here, messing with them. We didn't even know there was a plant up front there. When you've been blessed, when you're getting dry out in this life, this week, pray for your pastor that he's going to be able to bless you in God's word, and you're going to get a cool drink. Those of you that thirst and hunger after righteousness, you see, that's a spiritual birthmark on you, that you're hungry when you get here. And pray that God Almighty provide the increase through the ministry to feed you in God's word, so that you can continue here in this place with your joy and your love and the atmosphere that you have here. Trouble is going to come, y'all. It comes. It comes at us sometimes like a tsunami rolling in. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tells us what to put at our heart's door so that trouble doesn't get there. Life's going to have trouble. Yep. Don't let it in here, Jesus says. Faith as the guard of that door right there. Remember the things that Jesus Christ told his disciples. Read those things. We have the medicine cabinet right here. That's very, very good medicine. Thank you. God bless you for having me. I love you here at Vestavia.
Amen.